Hey guys, how are you? If we could just play that first little clip, please.
Here we are, Friday night in Perth, Armidale, and we're all going to the pub.
Basically, get this. 22 years ago, I was a drug addict, and I met Jesus. I didn't meet a name in a book. I met Jesus, and he changed my life. So that's our message tomorrow, that God is real, and he loves you guys so much. He loves you too, bro.
Amen.
I know that.
Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I thank you for tonight.
I thank you for tonight.
I believe.
I believe.
You're the Son of God.
You are the Son of God.
I believe.
I believe.
You died on the cross for me.
You died on the cross for me.
Come back into my life, Jesus.
Come back into my life, Jesus.
Heal my heart.
Heal my heart.
Set me free.
Set me free.
Right now.
Right now,
I give you my life.
I give you my life.
I trust you.
I trust you.
I love you.
I love you.
Let me.
Let me.
Tell people.
Tell people.
About you.
About you.
Everywhere I go.
Everywhere I go.
In your precious name.
In your precious name.
Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says that Jesus left 99. To go and find the one. Tonight he did that to you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you.
That's such a beautiful little clip of you may be thinking he's gonna say evangelism. No. That's a beautiful clip of normal Christianity. Going into a bar, getting on the karaoke. Do you know karaoke is all set up for us to preach the gospel? Seriously amazing. And one lady's life gets impacted with the gospel. Why? Because Jesus saves. Jesus saves. This whole 2 weeks is about Jesus saves. I want us to get that. He didn't just save us. He wants to save them. He wants to save your neighbors. He wants to save your friends, your schoolmates, work colleagues. He wants to save your family. The Bible says it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. You've got everything you need in you. Holy Ghost. It's amazing. And if you're in here and you're not saved, today is your day. Do not leave this room today without giving your life to Jesus. Maybe you're watching this online today. I want you to know that God loves you with an everlasting love. Today is your day. I'm so blessed to have Carmen with us today. Carmen's a fantastic artist. Now, Carmen is the first person that ever partnered with us in ministry. And 4 or 5 years on, we're still doing this. It's just awesome. And I'm really excited to see what your painting's going to be. You're an absolute weapon. She designs my denim jackets. She designs all the Global Gospel logos. She designed all of our book. We do a lot together. She's amazing. And she's married, actually, to this interesting chap here who wears different colored shoes. That's interesting. Stand up, sir. So this man here, nearly 3 months ago, eh? Just about be through. Yeah, maybe 3 months on Tuesday. He had been shooting heroin in his veins for 25 years. Been a drug addict for 35 years. Hard drugs. One Tuesday he shot up. Then he comes to the church for Pastor Wes to pray for him. We meet in that little office. We lay our hands, we pray for him. He's now free. Totally free. Why? Because Jesus saves. You know, and I just thought, it was a few months ago, I was having a coffee with Wes and Janet, and just down in at the vicarage there. And I just thought, why don't we do a couple of weekends of Jesus Saves, and why don't we get some testimonies from our own house, people in our own house, sons and daughters in our own house, and hear how Jesus saved them. So I've got a real treat for you today. We've got four phenomenal testimonies. And so let's give Luke Bowler a round of applause as he comes up. Some mic just there, bro. Have a seat, man. Oh, hello. Yeah, pardon. Yeah, cool. Okay, Luke, so, you know, when we share our testimony, we don't want to glorify the sin and the mess that we were in. A really good way of sharing a testimony is three little points. First one is, I was. What my life was like before Jesus. And then he did. That's the key bit. What Jesus did. How did he save your soul? And then I am. I was, he did, I am. So tell me, Luke, tell me about the early days for you. What was that like?
I was born in Invercargill. My parents split up when I was about 4 years old. I guess my walk through school and things like that, I'd go see Dad in the holidays. Mum always looked after us. My father's family, they were all into alcohol and drugs and the rest of that stuff, whereas life at home with Mum was quite sheltered. From an early age, I started sort of hanging out with the older kids in the neighbourhood, getting into a bit of mischief, and probably around the age of sort of 10, 11, 12, I would have started breaking into cars, stealing, fighting on the streets with other kids, just, yeah, heading down a pretty heavy path of destruction. At high school days, I spent most of my time in the hallway or the principal's office. I never really tried. I'd sort of already given up on that side of things. And I found myself more comfortable with the naughty kids. I felt like they understood me. I moved to my father's when I turned 16, which is where I dropped into addiction for 12 years. Over that 12 years, life was pretty crazy. Like, I can honestly say my heart got that hard that I just didn't even care. I didn't care about life, death, anything. I can honestly say I hated the world. Anger, violence, girls, parties, drugs, prison, it was all a part of that road. Even in prison, like my first time going to prison, I remember I was in the back of the paddy wagon with one of my best mates, and he was like, brother, like, I'm freaking out. And I was like, bro, this is epic. Pretty sad to say, because that's where I thought I was destined to be. Prison become normal. To the point where I can say I enjoyed it. I was that twisted that it didn't even faze me, eh?
So what happened in your jail cell that night?
So there was no belief in God, none of that stuff. I used to go to the church in prison here and there just for the biscuits and coffee and yell out, the devil's here. My last night in prison, I was yelling out the peephole, telling this dude that I was going to kick his head in the next morning and blah, blah, blah. And I had a demon show up next to me that physically threw me into the wall. I was terrified, like, instantly. I jumped in my bunk and the presence of God hit me for the first time. My cell turned into like a white light. And I remember all I heard was, you're an alcoholic, you're going to be free and you're going to change people's lives. I looked at the cell wall and there was a massive glowing golden cross on the wall. And I was absolutely wrecked. Like, I'd done drugs, alcohol, anything you can think of to fill that gap, and I was smashed. The next morning I woke up, my cell door opened. I was still smashed on his presence, not really understanding what it was, whereas now I do. And I remember I walked out into the wing and I had like this demonic love for all my brothers the day before. And all of a sudden I could feel how lost everybody was, and I started weeping and wanting to hug them and all this weird stuff. Got out of jail that day, and that was a miracle. I shouldn't have got out, but I did. And that's where sort of I started a walk of, I guess you could say, trying not to be a criminal and trying to push that old world away. I quickly fell back into addiction, and I remember writing to some of my mates, telling them what had happened in jail, and they were all like, brother, you've finally lost your marbles, like, you've lost it. And I knew, though, it had happened. I was like, I've been clean for 9 months, and what happened last night was radical.
How many years ago was that?
That was 2010, my first encounter.
Wow. So what does life look like now? So...
Yep.
A guy that comes out of jail, has an encounter with God. So, like, you're a dad.
Yeah.
So, how's life now?
Life now is crazy. My number one prayer since walking with the Lord has always been, Lord, I want more of you and less of me. I'm free from drugs, alcohol, anger, hatred, resentment. I've got his peace. I've got his joy. I'm a father. I've got a beautiful wife and two children. A business owner. We own our own home. I help people. Like, I look out over here and there's so many brothers in the crowd that I've seen God change their lives. I'm planted here in Living Waters and blessed enough to have people like Daz and Wes and Janet and the elders and so many others within this church speaking to my life, my family's lives, and my brother's lives as well. I just love seeing how welcome they are here. And I love seeing the way that Jesus is working through all of you towards them. Like, I'm still not perfect. I'm far from it. But I do know the one that is. Life as a Christian, yeah, it's definitely been, well, not as a Christian, as the Son of God. It's been up and down. It's been a crazy ride. It's been messy at times, but it's also been amazing, because through all the struggles and the things that we go through, if we continually stand up and just repent and realize that it's all good, he just continues to change our hearts and our lives.
So if you're in a lift, I just saw a lift, so we'll go with it, and the doors were about to shut and you had like 10 seconds and there was some people in the lift that don't know Jesus, what would you say to them in those 10 seconds? And I want you to say it, because there's people here and online that need to hear this.
I'd just say that Jesus loves you so much. I'd say, Holy Spirit, move. I'd probably go straight into prayer, to be honest, and I'd just say, Father God, touch these people right now. Awesome. Reveal yourself to them. Show them who you are. Show them your goodness, your grace, your mercy, and hit them with your presence, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Awesome. Taste and see. Awesome. Who's next? Come on. That's powerful, Luke. Have a seat, bro.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, they do that, man. You okay?
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, solid, eh?
Yeah.
So, what was life like for you growing up?
So, life for me growing up, I was adopted. I don't know my biological parents. Both my adopted parents were alcoholics. And my mother left my adopted father because he cheated on her. And so I'm still a bit shaken up from that testimony.
You don't think, man? Just look at me. It's you and me having a yarn. Don't worry about them.
All right. So, she left him and she fell sick and ended up in hospital. She had something wrong with her stomach. And met another guy in there, and he turned out to be quite nasty. She had nowhere to live. My mother had nowhere to live and moved in with him. And he was quite disgusting towards me and my mum and my brother. And eventually she managed to leave him, met another guy, and absolute violent drunk. So I grew up with a lot of violence, hate, I was like fully lost.
So just walking around angry?
Walking around angry. I'd go to psychiatrists and that because I had a lot of issues. By the age of 14, I had the traits of a serial killer that was diagnosed through me through psychiatrists and counsellors. I was on heaps of different medications. I was drinking quite young. When I started going to high school, I was like right into pornography, hard out. And I was also stealing, lying. I became a massive liar because I'd tell the truth and it was like no one believed me. So if I lied, they believed me, so I became a huge liar. I was running away heaps because it was too scary to be at home.
What did rock bottom look like for you? What when you hit rock bottom? What did that look like?
So rock bottom would have been just before I was saved. So I came to Christchurch from Wanaka, or Gore, and because I live in Wanaka, then moved to Gore with my wife, and then we moved back to Christchurch, and I was on the meth hard out. I was right into all sorts of drugs, but meth was my big thing, and it was same for my wife, and I sort of stopped smoking it. And I was just sick of it because I just wanted my marriage to be sweet because it was getting real, real dark. The meth was so dark for me when I was in Wanaka on it. I was doing demonic prophecy and having demonic visions. And years later, this stuff came true. Wow. So that was quite dark too.
So how did Jesus walk in the room? What happened there?
So I said to my wife, either you give it up or I'm out, thinking that she'd be like, I'll give it up. She kicked me out. we'd been together for years and I was on the street. I managed to get a hold of Alex Bowler, Luke's sister, and I knew them in Wanaka. They weren't Christians then. And then when she picked me up, she was like, oh, hey, how's it going? You know, good to see you. And I was like, oh, you know, you're so happy to see me. This is weird. Because I hadn't spoken to anyone that was a Christian. And I get back to Luke's house and start talking to Luke. And in between talking to him and telling him about what had been happening for me, there was other things happened. There was, I don't know how you say it, like there were, I guess, demons talking to him. So I'd be in a conversation like this, and then it would go, something would happen, and then all of a sudden it looks like, oh, well, you've got no authority in this house, and I'm like, what's going on here? And then, yeah, it looks like, oh, right, well, we'll get you to meet the pastor, Pastor Wes, which was, I think it was the next day. And we came here, and it was in that parents' room over there, and I was real, real nervous. I was like freaking out, trying to find a way to escape, and there was no way out, man. Like, I'm good at getting away from things, but nah, there was no way out of this. And as soon as like, because I was like, oh, my life's been like this, and then Wes stood up, and I was looking at him like, what's going on here? And then he said something like, to Luke, he goes, right, we need to do something about this now because it's getting a bit, or something, and I'm like, what's going on? And then I stood up, and then they laid hands on me, and it was like, poof, I couldn't move. My feet were stuck. There was no way out. I couldn't get away. And they started praying, and it was like these two psychotic warriors for God, just like, and I was trying not to listen to them because, you know, I didn't listen to anyone. And
you were trying not to listen?
I was trying not to listen.
That's awesome.
And then I was like, oh, and then I just started listening, and, you know, and then I started, like, I guess I was taking it in because I wasn't used to listening, and stuff started happening, and I started getting real hot, and it's like bits and pieces were just falling off me and getting ripped out, and I started feeling like real out of it things that I'd never felt in my life that I always thought I had, and the first one was hope. So I had hope in my life for the first time. I used to always speak about it like, oh, I hope I'm going to get wasted tonight, you know, like stuff like that, but it was like I actually had hope.
Wow.
For the first time. And then I felt love, and that was huge. I'd never felt loved in my life, and I always thought I could love people. I thought I was loved, but the love that I was experiencing was totally different to this love. And it was amazing. And,
Jesus, eh?
Yeah, and I got freedom, massive freedom from rage. Because, like, to be honest, I was like, how am I going to get out of this? Am I going to have to fight these guys? And, like, I was free from it instantly. Like, I was free from heaps. I was explosive.
Wow.
Used to be real.
So what does life look like now? Like, when you woke up this morning, what does life look like?
When I woke up this morning, I knew this was happening. I was a bit nervous, but...
Good. That's good. Nerves are good, man.
Yeah. So life now... I've got heaps in my life. I've got things in my life that I never had and never thought I'd ever have. I've got a family, like, I've got people that listen and actually want to listen and care. I've got a house now. After 14 years, I've got my daughter back. I've got...
Wow.
Yeah, man. Hallelujah. I've got my dog back. Yeah, because he got kidnapped for a wee bit. I've got food in my cupboards. You know, I've got things. I've got stuff.
You've got Jesus.
I've got Jesus' heart out.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. And I read the Bible every day. I've got a Bible. Yeah, but it's still, you know, like, I still have my ups and downs, but it's nowhere near what it was like.
Yeah.
At all.
That's powerful, bro. You know, every single one in this room and watching online, we all have ups and downs.
Oh, yeah.
It's called life. Yeah. I'm so proud of you, man.
Yeah.
You're doing so well. Awesome.
Sweet.
so good. I kind of, we had a bit of a time frame to work to, and I didn't want to rush them because they're so powerful. And we've got two services, so next service, we've got two other testimonies, two different testimonies. And again, we won't rush them. Why? Because they're in our house, they're part of our family, and it's so awesome to hear their story. So here's the deal. In my life, I went into a church to meet girls. I had no interest in God at all. I was heavily interested in girls, and I knew there'd be girls there, and I knew there'd be food there. So I thought, this will be a winner. I'm in this church, and people are hugging me. People are smiling at me. People were so friendly. I thought, oh my goodness, this is a cult. Never been in a cult before. This will be interesting. So I'm sitting in this church, sitting in the seat, watching these people. They had their hands in the air, and they were singing songs. I was going, oh my goodness, I've never seen anything like it. There was a lady running up and down the front of the church with a flag. You take a flag to rugby, she had a flag in church. It's thinking, oh my goodness. Wow. So as I'm sitting there, the preacher got up and he started preaching and he said, Jesus was a good shepherd. He left 99 sheep to go and find the one. And I just had this little wee thought. I wonder if he'd ever come and find me. Just this wee little thought went through my mind. And as I thought, I wonder if he'd ever come and find me, I physically felt, I didn't think this, I felt warmth going up my arms and across my chest. I started having an encounter with God. Wow. Because he's alive from the dead. He's not just a name in a book. I started having an encounter with a living God. I was trying my best not to cry, but there was snot blowing out of my nose. I'm shaking, doing that ugly crying. People were looking, going, oh my goodness. The preacher stopped preaching and said, sir, you need to come up here. I'm shaking my head, going, I'm not going anywhere near you. I don't know what's happening here. This is not cool. But that night, God lassoed my heart. He pulled me down to the front of that church. I don't even know the prayer that I prayed that night. But what I know, I walked into that church, a broken drug addict, and I walked out of that church a son. He loves you. He's no respecter of person. He loves you with an everlasting love. If you're in here and you've never given your life to Jesus, today is your day. Yep. Today is your day. I want you just to walk up here right now. If you've been sitting in here listening to these testimonies going, I want that, today is your day. Today is your day. But you see, you've got free will. See, you might be getting 1,000 reasons why not to respond. I want you to know that there is a devil. The Bible says the devil is a liar. He's the father of lies. He comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He wants to destroy your life like he did my friends. But God comes with hope and peace and love. Today is your day. I'm not going to labor on this. If you need to get right with Jesus, today is your day. I'm going to count down from 10. And then I'm going to close this altar. Awesome, bro. This is it, man. This is it. Brave, bro. Awesome, bro. Come here, man. This is it, man. This is it. Who else? Awesome. Awesome. Come here, beautiful. Come here. Who else? Today is your day. Today is your day. You see, a couple of years before I had that encounter with God, I was in a church service with my mum because I'd stole money off her, and part of the penance was I had to go to church with her. And as I went to church with mum, God bless you guys. This is it, man. This is going to change your life forever. As I went to church with mum, this man who was preaching, he pulled me out. He said, "Sir, come here." Again, I shook my head and said, "There's no way." So he came to me. And he said, "God has called you to be an evangelist." I didn't even know what that word meant. I didn't even believe in God. What the heck? He said, "God's called you to be an evangelist, an itinerant international evangelist." He came to me. Why do I say that? Because that had such an impact on my life. Today's your day, bro. Today's your day. I'm coming to you too. Just like that man came to me, I'm coming to you too. Jesus loves you so much, man. He loves you, bro. He's got such a plan for your life. My question is, what are you going to do with Jesus? He wants to come and heal that brokenness, heal that pain, and give you real life. It's called eternal life. But you've got free will. You've got an opportunity to give your life to Jesus, not just your heart, not just give this thing a go. You've got the opportunity to give him your whole life. He will do something so beautiful with it. I'm going to count down from 10, and then I'm going to close this altar. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. He loves you with an everlasting love. That is what love looks like. That's what he did for you to set you free, man. And all he wants is what he paid for, and that's all of you. 4, 3, 2, 1. Luke, come up here, bro. Luke Bowler. Oh, you're here. Nelly, come up here. We're going to kneel down. Just kneel down. I want everyone else standing up. I want you guys kneeling down with me. We're going to kneel down. I want you guys just kneeling down. You two guys down the back, it's not too late. I love you. That's why I did that. That's what love is, man. Today is your day. You got confronted with a decision. Will you just decide to follow Jesus? Will you walk out of here a son just like I did? Or will you walk out of here just the same? Today is your day. Here's the deal, guys. God is not looking for perfection. He's not. He loves you just the way you are. And he will walk with you through the challenges of life. He sticks closer than a brother. Christianity does not mean perfect person. It means a son or a daughter. He looks down and goes, "I love you. I've always loved you." So today, what you're doing, you're going to repent for your sins. You see, because sin is a real issue. If sin wasn't an issue, there was no need for a Savior. So Jesus died on the cross to take away all your sin and all your sickness. He did that for you because he loves you. So today you're going to say, "Jesus, forgive me of my sins and come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior." And that prayer will change your life. The Bible says this: if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God rose Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. You, when you get up off your knees, all that junk, all that sin that stays on the ground, the way you walk in, you walk out different. The Bible says that your name today gets written in the book of life. You are known in heaven. You are known by your Father. This is it. Every shackle, every chain today will be broken in Jesus' name. Because the Bible says who the Son, that's not the sun, the thing in the sky, that's the Son of God, who the Son sets free is free indeed. So what I want you to do, just in your own heart right now, I just want you to thank God for this opportunity today and ask him to forgive you. Just in your own heart, in your own words. Then I'll lead you through a prayer. Thank you, Jesus. More, Lord, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Flood their hearts. Ha ha. I just want to lead you through a prayer. I just want you to say this after me. Actually, I want everyone in the room to say this. We're going to say this as a family, because this is family. Dear Jesus, I thank you for today. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died for me. You died as me because you love me. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sin. Wash me clean. Come into my life now. Invade it. I am now all yours. Use me to shine your gospel every day. Amen and amen. God bless you. Awesome.